Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. And the Phillies lose once again and get swept for the first time this season to the New York Yankees, a series that I was stoked for to start. I was so excited. And for the Phillies to come out and get swept is obviously terrible. It sucks. Things are just in an all-time low right now this season. It's crazy to talk about it this way because we're still 22 games above 500. Still one of the best records in baseball, 65-43. Still first in the NL East. Still have a good lead in the division at 6.5 games, you know, over the next second place Atlanta Braves. But going to be honest with you guys, I'm a little worried about the Phillies right now. I'm a little worried about them. I'll get to it in a couple of minutes. We're going to get into a quick game recap first from yesterday. Yes, we will relive that loss once again, real quick, just very, very quick. And then we'll get into the trade deadline recap, a wrap up. What my thoughts overall were on the trade deadline after the entire thing is wrapped up. We'll get to that. We'll update you on some injuries and whatnot, especially with Taijuan Walker, where he's at in his rehab. And then we'll preview the next series, August 1st. We are in August now. The first series of the month against the Seattle Mariners. So we'll get into that. So start with a quick game recap. Very quick. Top of the second, DJ LeMahieu hits a grand slam that we weren't sure was a grand slam at first, but upon further review was, and the Yankees get out to an early 4-0 lead in the second inning. Bottom of the fourth, Alec Boehm grounds out to Anthony Volpe. Kyle Schwarber would score, and then Castellanos also that same inning would bring home Austin Hayes on an RBI single, 4-2 New York at that point. Bottom of the fifth, Phillies get even closer with a Weston Wilson solo bomb to left field, 4-3 New York at that point. And then the Yankees get the runs that eventually would win the game for them on another DJ LeMahieu, couple of RBIs, doubles to right field, 6-3 New York. Phillies would get a little closer in the sixth and eighth inning. Castellanos, a couple of RBIs there that would bring around Alec Boehm both times. So 6-5 New York. And then bottom of the ninth, Bryce Harper, who has just been horrible over the last few weeks since he has been back, grounds in double play to end the game. Yankees win 6-5. So I don't really necessarily have my game takeaways or my series takeaways. I kind of just want to talk about where I'm at on the Phillies right now after this bad stretch of baseball over the last couple of weeks. And I know that they've been, just haven't been their best since the London series way back in early to mid-June. Are you worried about the Phillies right now? I wasn't going to have this conversation yet, over the last couple of weeks because I wasn't there yet. I wanted to give it a little more time before we start talking about being worried or anything. I'm not panicking by any chance. I'm not panicking. But I'm very nervous and I'm worried. I'm not saying extremely worried. I'm worried. I'm worried that the same thing, and I was a tiny bit nervous about this, within the last couple of months. But watching this drought, especially that these players like Bryce Harper, like Trey Turner, are going through right now, I am worried that the same thing in October that happened last season against the Arizona Diamondbacks in Game 6 and Game 7 will happen this year again in October. Because you see, when their superstars are not hitting right now, that it becomes a problem. It becomes a problem. And I know Nick Castellanos has been doing his thing. He's been really doing his thing, right? Castellanos has been really good. And I don't think we're really talking about it. Nick Castellanos has been really good. Boehm had a good game yesterday too. But you're seeing that when Bryce Harper isn't going well, when Trey Turner isn't going well, and Trey Turner didn't even play yesterday, but maybe that speaks to more of that thing. When Kyle Schwarber's not hitting, you know, like he's hitting in June, when these things aren't happening, it seems like the Phils have problems, right? It seems like the Phils have problems. At the end of the day, they need their superstars to hit. Because last year in the playoffs, when it came down to Game 6 and Game 7, when those things aren't happening, bad things happen. Bad things happen. And that's happening right now. You need your superstars to hit. You just do. They have to hit. And I'm worried that a stretch like this is going to come down. It could come down to this come October. And I don't, look, Nick Castellanos has been great. I don't trust Nick Castellanos going into the playoffs. He hasn't been concrete enough as a Philly for me to trust him. Nick Castellanos, I don't trust him enough. Bryson Stott has had a weird year, weird season this year, and I don't necessarily trust Bryson Stott enough. Like the Phillies don't have the type of lineup where if one or two guys are going bad, that the type of baseball that, you know, with their lineup, that the way they hit, it's really like, look, it's the three true outcomes. It's bombs, it's walking, and it's hitting home runs. It's not, yeah, like Trey can steal bases, Stock can steal bases, but there's not enough variety in the lineup. There's not enough variety in the lineup. Maybe there'd be more variety if Bryson Stott was actually hitting for contact, but he's not hitting for contact even like he did last season. So there's just not enough variety in the lineup. They need their superstars to you know, to really go off. And the problem is, come playoff time, nothing's going to change. Like, the lineup is the way it is. Castellanos is, when Castellanos is the way he's going, Castellanos is going to be hitting dingers and he's going to be hitting bombs. Same thing with Schwarber, same thing with Bryce Harper, and same thing, even to a certain extent, did I mention Kyle Schwarber? I mean, yeah, Kyle Schwarber's been getting on base, but Kyle Schwarber is Kyle Schwarber when he's hitting bombs. So I'm not saying that the Phillies can't win the World Series. They definitely can. You know, if come October, that's happening, right? Where everybody's, you know, going off, and the entire lineup is working well, then they can win a World Series. They can, but I'm nervous that this thing we're seeing right now with the superstars hitting and not hitting is a problem. Is a problem. It just seems like everything's discombobulated when these things aren't happening. Right. And I know right now it's like, oh, we're overreacting. And maybe I am overreacting a little bit. I could be. But what I saw against Arizona last year and what I'm seeing right now, I can't help but be nervous. I can't help but be very nervous now. And look, they're going to come out of this right now, and they'll eventually start playing good baseball in August, you know, September. They'll eventually come out of this, and they'll win 100 games. Like, I feel that way, but this right now, it just makes me nervous for come October. It just does. I'm just very, very, very nervous right now. Just nervous is the word. Not extremely worried, but nervous. Nervous what I'm watching right now, that this could happen again. This could happen again when it really, really matters. Okay, when it really matters. Because right now, these games don't... Look, this team's going to make the playoffs. They're going to win the NL East. I'm confident in that. Just nervous. That is all. I'm just nervous right now. But I would love to know your thoughts on Twitter at @Rojas_media_. Let me know your thoughts. Where are you at on this team? Are you still like super confident that come playoff time, it's going to be different this year? They're on their revenge tour. Or how are you feeling? I need to know your thoughts. Need to know your thoughts right now on this Phillies team. Where are you at? How are you feeling about this Philadelphia Phillies team right now as we sit going into the month of August and where they're going to play the Seattle Mariners to start this month? But before we get to the preview of the Mariners series, a little trade deadline recap / wrap up. Look, talked about the deadline a little bit on Monday after they acquired Carlos Estevez and Austin Hayes, and how I felt about those two moves. And I told you guys on Monday, I really, really like what Dave Dombrowski did over, you know, the weekend, acquiring Hayes, giving up Sir Anthony Pache, and then getting Estevez and giving up two of the young pitching prospects to get those two guys. And so what we're going to do now is going to tell you what they did overall at the deadline, and then I'll tell you what I thought of each trade, and then at the end tell you what I thought of the deadline overall for the Philadelphia Phillies and Dave Dombrowski in that front office. So, number one, first trade, they acquired Austin Hayes from the Baltimore Orioles and gave up Sir Anthony Dominguez and Christian Pache. Then they acquired Carlos Estevez from the Angels for pitching prospects George Klassen and Samuel Aldegiri.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
And then on the day of the deadline, a couple of days ago, they acquired relief left-hander Tanner Banks from the White Sox for young prospect shortstop William Bergoglio. And then the last deal that they made, they acquired Seth Johnson, right-handed prospect, and also another right-handed prospect, Moises Chace, from the Baltimore Orioles for Gregory Soto. So each deal and what I thought. The first one, Hayes for Sir Anthony and Pache. Like it a lot. Told you guys this on Monday. I like it a lot. You get your outfield bat with some pop. He hits lefties really well. And what is Brandon Marsh's weakness? Brandon Marsh's weakness is he doesn't hit lefties very well. So now what you're able to do there in the outfield is Hayes and left, Marsh in center, Castellanos in right. I really like the outfield now, as long as, you know, Castellanos is able to continue to hit well here in the second half. Really like the outfield. And then Johan Rojas, they're planning on platooning him with Marsh in center, as long as Marsh is getting more of the starts out there in center, and then Rojas could come in late in games with the defense. Hopefully that's the plan going forward. But I like what Hayes brings it to the lineup. I do. The bottom of the lineup, he can hit 15 to 20 home runs, and you know, he almost hit a couple out there in left field yesterday against New York, and you saw it with his first home run. I think, you know, hitting at Citizens Bank Park with that left field wall out there, not like Camden Yards where they move that left field wall back, I think it's going to do it's going to be an advantage for Austin Hayes, that hitting in Citizens Bank Park. So I like it. Like it a lot. Like the move and like what it does for the offense. You add to an outfield that wasn't hitting all that well overall this year. That's an understatement. And I think it's a good move. And you didn't have to give up super big time prospects to go get one like you would have for Luis Robert. You know, Christian Pache wasn't going to work with Rojas here. And the way I felt about Sir Anthony, they just didn't believe in Sir Anthony going forward. That's how I saw that. So that's the first one. Acquired Carlos Estevez from the Angels, you know, all-star closer for the pitching prospects, George Klassen and Samuel Aldegiri. Look, I told you guys, I love this. I love the move. Really, some insurance for the bullpen. He's been one of the best closers in Major League Baseball. You really add some insurance for that bullpen and then some, being able to get somebody that hasn't given up an earned run since May. Has not given up an earned run since mid-May. So you just get better and better there with the bullpen, and you add, it's not just getting a decent reliever. You're getting somebody that has been one of the better relievers in baseball the last couple of years. And then you acquire Tanner Banks from the White Sox for William Bergoglio. At first, didn't really make sense to me. I'm like, why do they get, I mean, it's fine. They're getting more, you know, bullpen depth, and I can't be mad at that. But it's like, well, William Bergoglio, he was, you know, one of their, you know, higher ranked prospects. So I'm like, it's fine. But it does make a little more sense after the next deal here, which was them getting prospects back and trading Gregory Soto to the Baltimore Orioles. So with that deal, it makes the Tanner Banks deal make a lot more sense. And I guess Gregory Soto just wasn't, you know, the thing about Soto, and he's actually been better the last like month or two. Soto was never going to, or not Soto was never going to. It just seemed like a weird fit here. He was a two-time All-Star with Detroit, and then he comes here, and he's just kind of all over the place. Has filthy stuff when it's going, but when it's not, just not very good. Not very good. So Soto was kind of all over the place. So I'm not particularly, you know, upset at that. Like, goes to Baltimore, not a Philly anymore. So how I thought about they did, you know, how I thought they did with the at the deadline overall, I thought they did great. Look, I wrote an article on this. You can go 94wip.com. It's right there on, you know, on the site. Grading the Phillies 2024 deadline. I gave them an A. I said, and look, I said on the last podcast, near perfect deadline. I still feel that way. A is a near perfect deadline. A plus is a perfect deadline, but A is near perfect. You're able to fill your needs. What you needed was some insurance in the bullpen and some insurance in the outfield, or just, you know, strengthen the outfield as far as the offense goes. And you did both of those things without having to give up names like Aiden Miller, Justin Crawford, and Andrew Painter, your top three prospects. You did that, and you refilled those, you know, your farm system after giving up guys in the Estevez and the Hayes trade. So, and Tanner Banks. So you get prospects back. So there you go. I thought it was a really, really great deadline. I thought it was, and I think that there's people out there that don't think that because they didn't get Luis Robert or Garrett Crochet or names like that. It's because we all want the big, sexy names, and I get that. But you can't tell me they didn't fill needs. And some people are mad about the Jazz Chisholm now. Yeah, Jazz Chisholm is a big, sexy name because he has a lot of personality. And yeah, I get it. He's had a good start to his Yankee career, but we'll see. We'll see with Jazz Chisholm. But my whole point is, like, you did what you needed to do. You did what you needed to do. You didn't need to add a superstar bat. You already have, even though I've been a little nervous about the offense, you still have a stacked offense as far as, you know, names go and talent on the offense. So you didn't need to. You didn't need to do that. That didn't make sense. So I thought they did great. Okay, I thought they did great. Injuries and moves before we get out of here, and then we'll preview the series real quick against Seattle. Mick Abel placed on the development list. Has had a really, really bad year for Lehigh Valley. And move to the development list allows both the club and Abel to hit pause in an attempt to right the ship moving forward. And that's according to Phillies.com. So the development list, as far as what I understand, it's a list of players where they can kind of keep, the organization can kind of keep an eye on him and their usage. And I think Paul Skeens was placed on this list last year at the end of the year after feeling general fatigue as the year winded down. So kind of whatever that means, I'm still kind of learning about this. So that Mick Abel to placed on the development list. And then Taiwan Walker, right index finger inflammation. You already know this. Double A Reading last night had an appearance, 2 2/3, 4 hits, 3 runs, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. He's going to continue his rehab assignment on August 6th with AAA Lehigh Valley, where he will have 4 or 5 innings of work there. So that's what Rob Thompson says. We'll figure it out from there. They don't want to rush him because, you know, they're the organization being short of pitching or anything like that. It's not out of the question that Walker could rejoin the rotation following this team's upcoming 10-game road trip through Seattle, Los Angeles, and Arizona. That, according to Phillies.com. Thank you for the info, as always. So, series preview coming up against the Seattle Mariners. 3-game set this weekend. Seattle, by the numbers right now, 57-53, second in the AL West. Definitely safe to say they have been underachieving this year, but 57-53 right now, 5-5 in their last 10 games. Their offense, 28th in runs scored. They've been horrible, 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 horrible this year as far as the lineup goes. But on the other end, their starting pitching has been disgusting. They are a first in earned run average this year. Have been the best rotation in baseball this season. Bullpen, good but not great. 12th in ERA this season, according to those numbers. Then starting pitching matchups this weekend, Brian Wu versus Tyler Phillips, Bryce Miller versus Colby Allard, and Logan Gilbert versus Zach Wheeler. And again, the Mariners rotation has just been super nasty. No, we do not have to see Luis Castillo or George Kirby, who have been, you know, one of the bigger names, I'd probably say, in the American League as far as starters go. But you're going to have to see Logan Gilbert. You're going to have to see Bryce Miller. You're going to have to see Brian Wu. Brian Wu coming in with a 2.35 ERA in 11 starts. Bryce Miller coming in with 3.46 ERA in 21 starts. And Logan Gilbert, a 3.11 ERA in just 22 starts. Or not just 22 starts, but in 22 starts this season. So my players to watch for this series is, absolutely, for the Seattle Mariners, it's Randy Arozarena, who was just picked up by Seattle and was looked at by the Philadelphia Phillies, right? Or not looked at, but was one of the names that came up as far as outfield options go for the Phils. Again, probably a bigger, sexier name as far as some of these names went at the deadline. He's had quite a run in the postseason since he has been in the majors. And so far for Seattle, he's been pretty good. In 5 games, 316, 435, 526 slash line with a 961 OPS. So Randy Arozarena is definitely somebody that I'm watching for if I'm the Phillies. That their lineup isn't that great, but they do add a little bulk there with Randy Arozarena. And, you know, somebody to watch for if I'm the Phillies. Phillies on the other side, Bryce Harper. I don't want to say beating a dead horse here, but it's obvious, but it's the truth. I mean, he's been horrible, and Bryce is the catalyst of this team. He's the catalyst. He's the catalyst for the offense. He's the catalyst. He's the face of the Phillies. He's the face one of the faces of baseball. When he's going bad, he's going bad, and we're seeing it with the frustration. Outwardly with the way he's, been reacting and whatnot. So Bryce Harper, my player to watch. So that's going to do it for me. Phillies Today. Stay tuned for everybody else that does a great job on this channel. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Phils better get it together.